I would invite you, stronger than that, encourage you to come with me to Proverbs chapter 14 this morning. And we will be spending a decent amount of time in Proverbs 14 and verse 13. The subject matter this morning is one of those, it is so simple in concept. We could summarize everything that we're going to say this morning in one sentence. I will not be content to do that, of course, but it's just one of those things, so simple in concept, simple in theory, and yet it becomes a very, very complicated thing. The masks that we wear, the things that we do to keep anyone from seeing what's going on inside, or what we might be feeling, things that we're struggling with. We are very adept at wearing masks. And we want to talk about this morning from the book of Proverbs, and hopefully, though there may not be concrete, overnight, instant changes to make, that we come away with an understanding and appreciation for things that need to start happening in our lives. The dictionary defines a mask as a cover for the face that is used for disguise. And we see robbers, people breaking into places, wearing masks so that they are disguised. I think that's probably why dentists wear them, so we don't know, you know, who they are as well. But the dictionary also has a secondary definition for a mask: that which disguises or conceals. And that takes just a little bit different angle towards this. It changes from being a noun to being a verb. It becomes something that we then do. Not only something that is, but something that we pretty much deliberately do to conceal something about us. And that definition fits with what we're talking about this morning, that sometimes we do things that disguise or conceal the way we feel, the hurt, the pain, the trauma, the anger, the things that are going on inside of us. So we're going to spend some time thinking about that and looking at that this morning. Now, some of you are on the side of this. Everything is sailing right along. There's going to be some that say you are talking right at me. And I'm not, but just I know this is the way it is. There are some people that are on the edge. And I would hope that God would bring you back from the edge this morning. Proverbs 14:13. Even in laughter, the heart may ache, and the end of joy may be grief. Would you bow with me and just commit our time to the Lord? Father, I just ask that you would just be so real and help us to be courageous enough to see the mask, to drop the mask, to come alongside those that are hiding. However we need to be spoken to by your Spirit this morning, I pray that you would do that. And so I surrender our time to you. I pray that there would be nothing that I would say that would misrepresent what you want said. And so I just commit all this to you, and I pray in Jesus' name, amen. So we're talking about a cover-up. Even in laughter, the heart may ache. The New Living Translation renders this in such an accurate, precise way. Laughter can conceal a heavy heart, but when the laughter ends, the grief remains. Now, there's a lot of different kinds of masks that we put on. The one that's being talked about here is the mask of laughter, that I'm going to tell a joke. I'm going to put on an air of lightness in order to cover up what's truly going on at this particular moment in time. We see it happen all around us. There are those that are nearly worshiped by the masses who are constantly turning to things like drugs and alcohol and other kinds of substances to cover up because it's just not there. We see it all the time. It's been a long time ago. It made such an impression on me because I was probably near that same age. But there was an actor many years ago now, name of Freddie Prinze. His son is an actor today, Freddie Prinze Jr. But after a comedy show that he had put on, he told somebody, "I can't hear the laughter anymore." And I think he was 22 years old, took his life. Robin Williams, not that long ago, spent his life making people laugh. You would think he had it all put together. Came to the end of himself, took his life. We've seen it happen locally. I was talking to someone between services, an individual who recently took his life. They had just talked to him. "How are you doing?" "Everything's fine. I'm doing great." But obviously was not. We see it happen. It happens continuously. Solomon, who wrote this, stands as a living lesson of mask putting on. Here in this chapter, again, he said, "Even in laughter, the heart may ache." It's so interesting in his kind of biography in Ecclesiastes. I want to read from chapter 2 of Ecclesiastes where he kind of talks about his masks. "I said in my heart, 'Come now, I will test you with pleasure. Enjoy yourself.' But behold, this also was vanity. I said of laughter, 'It is mad.' And of pleasure, 'What use is it?' I searched with my heart how to cheer my body with wine, my heart still guiding me with wisdom, and how to lay hold on folly that I might see what was good for the children of man to do under heaven during the few days of their life. I made great works. I built houses and planted vineyards for myself. I made myself gardens and parks and planted in them all kinds of fruit trees. I made myself pools from which to water the forest of growing trees. I bought male and female slaves and had slaves who were born in my house. I also had great possessions of herds and flocks, more than any who had been before me in Jerusalem. I also gathered for myself silver and gold and the treasure of kings and provinces. I got singers, both men and women, and many concubines, the delight of the sons of man. And so I became great and surpassed all who were before me in Jerusalem. All my wisdom remained with me, and whatever my eyes desired, I did not keep from them. I kept my heart from no pleasure, for my heart found pleasure in my toil, and this was the reward for all my toil. And then I considered all that my hands had done and the toil I had expended in doing it. And behold, all was vanity and a striving after wind. And there was nothing to be gained under the sun." So his masks were many. He tried the pleasures of all kinds. He tried success. He tried sex. He tried it all. He had all these masks on and living under this delusion. He kept saying, I've got my wisdom with me. He really didn't. At least he wasn't following his own advice. But in the end of it all, he said it was just like trying to grab the wind. And even a wind like yesterday cannot be grabbed. It was vanity. It was emptiness. There was nothing to it. I had all of these masks that I put on to try to look like I had it all put together, but in the end it was just like the wind. And we see this happen all the time. Even in laughter, the heart may ache. Laughter might hide the hurt. And why do we do that? And here again, I think the answers are probably both very complex and very simple. For some, it's a matter of trust. Just don't feel like I can trust anybody enough to really let them know what's going on in here. Or maybe you've been burned. You did trust someone and it became a gossip thing. Many live under the illusion that nobody would understand. You know, there's an old Negro spiritual, might not be those exact words, but we sing the song, "Nobody Knows the Trouble I've Seen." Or we live under the illusion that nobody would care. Nobody cares what I'm going through. Nobody cares about my problems. Nobody cares about my hurt. Nobody cares. And for many, I'm afraid it's just a matter of pride. I can't let you see me. I don't want you to see the stuff, the junk that's going on. I don't want you to know that I'm depressed. I don't want you to know that I'm angry. I don't want you to know the things that are going on. There are a lot of different reasons that we wear masks. But it is just a futile attempt to find some peace, to find some safety, to just find some way to deal. Laughter can conceal a heavy heart. But when the laughter ends, the grief remains. It made me think of the prodigal son. He thought the answer to life was to get money, to hold continuous parties, to not withhold from himself anything that mean old dad of his had been withholding from him all these years. I'm just going to live it up. But he finally came to that place, and it's recorded there when he came to the end of himself. And he realized, there's servants in my father's house that are so much better off than I am. This slop that I'm giving to pigs really doesn't look half bad. When the laughter ends, the grief remains. We cover up. We wear masks. But God would want us to know, and I would want us to know, there is a better way. There is an infinitely better way that God has for us to deal with life. In the very beginning, in the Garden of Eden, after God had created man, he made this statement, "It is not good for man to be alone." The context, the immediate context was marriage. He was going to create a spouse for Adam as well. That was a very good move on God's part. But it's broader than that. It is not good. It is not right. It is not proper, it is never going to work out right for us to be alone. And so in the New Testament, we start seeing words like community and family And brothers and sisters, these things that God has made us to be a part of when we have a relationship with Jesus Christ, when we've trusted in Him for the gift of eternal life and for forgiveness, He makes us part of this worldwide organism, this body. And we're not there just to be there. We are there to provide support and help and encouragement as we go through this sometimes dark old journey of life. Now, I want to direct your thoughts to three more proverbs here that speak to this. Just back a couple of chapters, in chapter 12, verse 25, it says, "Anxiety in a man's heart weighs him down, but a good word makes him glad." And this highlights anxiety, but it could be many things. Anger will do it too. Trauma will do it. Pain will do it. It drags us down. It brings us down, but a good word makes us glad. Now, there's a theme here that I want us to get, that when we open up, and it means that we have to open up to someone, they can then help us gain perspective again. They can help us see the reality. You're not alone. You're not the only one that has gone through this. You're not the only one that has experienced loss. And if someone has been through the same type of thing, they can share, "This was what my journey was like." And that good word can be the encouragement that we need to bring us back, to get us off the edge, to help us see life and hope and health again. Anxiety weighs your heart down. Good word makes you glad. Chapter 27, verse 9. "Oil and perfume make the heart glad, and the sweetness of a friend comes from his earnest counsel." I'm not into oil and perfume. I don't really know what that's about making the heart glad. But I do know about the sweetness of a friend. We're not talking about golfing buddies here. We're talking about someone who will really come alongside and be honest with us. Someone that we can trust and share our hearts with, share what we're struggling with. And then sometimes it's the last thing that we want is advice, counsel, but it might be exactly what we need. What we might need is a good swift kick in the pants. And someone that you trust, someone that you know loves you, though it may sting, you come away saying, "Yep, that's exactly right. That is what I needed." The sweetness of a friend comes from his earnest counsel. But again, we've got to let somebody in. Chapter 27, verse 17. This is one of the well-known proverbs. "Iron sharpens iron, and one man sharpens another." Now, let me say this here. Several of these are written in the masculine. It's not intended for us to only think of that masculine. It means mankind. Means humanity. We get to sharpen one another. We can restore the edge that had gotten dull, that our circumstances have warped in us. And we have that chance for interaction and that stimulation and that motivation and that hearing the voice from God in many cases. We're not hearing the still small voice, and so He speaks through someone else. This is the opportunity that is in front of us. It is not good for man to be alone. And God has given to us what I'm going to call the bear principle, B-E-A-R. In Galatians 6:2, Paul wrote to his readers about what we are supposed to do within the family of God. And he said this, carry each other's burdens, bear each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. To put your shoulder underneath the load of someone else and help them carry it. That is a responsibility, that is a privilege of the family of God. It gets messy sometimes. It gets uncomfortable sometimes. It is time-consuming sometimes. But to this we are called. And who knows when we can help someone that is on the edge and bring them back to a clear way of thinking again. We shoulder under that load. We help them carry it. The bear principle. We'll talk about this again in a little bit. Now, there's lots of negative examples of the putting on masks. There's also positive ones. I think of King David, who had an inner circle, and people that he could rely on, that he could trust, that he could share what was going on. Different times in his life, the adversities, he spent so many years being hunted. He described himself as a dog or flea in the wilderness by King Saul. Later, his own son drove him out of his kingdom. But he had those that he could confide in, his good friend Jonathan, one he was extremely honest with and share. I think of the Apostle Paul. He's one that we think of as, you know, able to leap tall buildings with a single bound. He was so bold and never be intimidated. But as he kind of writes his last will and testament in 2 Timothy, we're given a glimpse into him. And he was waiting the executioner's sword in Rome. And he wrote to Timothy, I need you to come. And come quickly. Come before winter, and bring my coat with you when you come, but come. And when you come, bring so-and-so and so-and-so, because they're helpful to me. He wasn't afraid to ask for help. Even the Lord Jesus Christ, in his humanity, knew the importance of having some people around him, and he had his inner circle, and in his greatest hour of temptation, not out in the desert for 40 days, but in the Garden of Gethsemane, he asked his three closest to come with him, pray with me. And this is the body of Christ illustrated for us clearly and plainly. We have this better way. It is not good for man to be alone. And so, it comes down to this. We need to learn to take off the masks. We need to be willing. It's not so much learning as actually being able to do it. Take the risk. I'll call this the bear principle, B-A-R-E. We've got to be willing to bear ourselves. We've got to be willing. It's risky. It is vulnerability. It is humbling, but we've got to be willing to let somebody in. Somebody who can come alongside us, somebody who will help us. Somebody that we can confide in, somebody that we trust. There is risk. Some can't be trusted with confidential information. That's just a fact of life. But it's worth the risk. We come to the end of our pride and whatever else might be, the things, the lies that we believed, and reach out and let somebody in. It's so critically important. And then we employ the bear principle, B-E-A-R. as we looked at from Galatians 6, to bear one another's burdens, carry one another's burdens. We are not conditioned to get anything more than the casual, "How you doing today?" "I'm doing great." We're not conditioned for anything else. This happened to me yesterday. I asked a guy, "How you doing?" "Well, not very good." And it's like, "How about them Huskers?" We're not ready for it. We're not prepared. We don't want to hear anything else. We've got to get ready, though. Now, in fairness, a lot of times people, you know, they hit and run. Though they might, somebody might be honest enough to say this, and then they're off. But we need to practice. I mean, practice things like, "You want to talk about it?" And you might not have time right then. You got to make time. "You want to talk about it? Is there something that I can pray for you about? Can I pray with you right now? I don't know what's going on, but can I pray for you right now?" Practice those words so that we're more ready for them to come out of our mouths instead of, This bearing one another's burdens. I love the picture that we're given in the Old Testament. Israel was fighting a war, and for whatever reason at that particular battle, as Moses interceded for his soldiers, as long as he kept his arms in the air, Israel won. But when he got tired, as the day went on and his arms began to drop, they started losing. And so two men, Aaron and Hur, came alongside him, sat him down on a rock, and held his arms up for him. And that's what we're talking about here, bearing each other's burdens, carrying those burdens. And the result is significant. Paul said that if you carry one another's burdens, you're going to fulfill the law of Christ. Christ's law is fulfilled. What law might that be? Well, as Jesus summarized the entire Old Testament, he said you can summarize it like this. You need to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. That's what this is. And so his law is the law of love. And it's not about how much we know. It's not about how much training we've had. It's how much we care. And that's all it boils down to. You might not know what to say to someone who says, "I'm really not doing very well." You care. Love. There's an old adage that people will not care how much you know until they know how much you care. And just taking a little bit of time to listen, to come underneath and help someone shoulder their load. We're fulfilling Christ's most perfect law, the law of love. And a second thing that happened, healing happens. In the book of James chapter 5, talking to the local church, he lays out this scenario for a physical intervention. When someone comes that is sick, he says, you're supposed to call for the elders of the church, let them pray for you, anointing you with oil, and the prayer of faith will save the sick. But then it goes on in that and says, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. Now, the physical part of that, if God chooses to bring about a physical healing, I've got something physically wrong, that's awesome. But the far greater thing is when my heart gets healed. The far greater thing that can come out of that is when we are confessing to one another what's really going on, praying for one another, and our hearts get healed, our emotions get restored spiritually, we get back into a right relationship with God. That's the far greater thing. And it's one of these miraculous things that he chooses to do when we bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Taking off the masks. Many years ago now, guy's been, he's passed away over 15 years ago. There's an old newsman named Paul Harvey. Some of you remember him. And he would tell the news that ABC and CBS didn't. He would have the unusual stories. But he reported one time many years ago about a group of doctors that were having lunch together in a hospital cafeteria. They ate for a while, visited for a while, and suddenly one of them got up and left the room. And nobody knew why. Maybe he had to go to the bathroom or something. But he never came back. Later, they found him in one of the hospital corridors having choked to death on his lunch. And we'll never know the answer why. My mind screams, why? You had people sitting there that could have helped you. They could have even performed an emergency surgery. Why didn't you ask for help? It's so unnecessary, so sad. But that's exactly the way many times we choose to go through life. We were not meant to be alone. Don't try to go it alone. Now, whether you're floating, everything seems to be clicking right along, or if you're the one that's sitting here thinking you've been talking right at me, don't try to go it alone. Reach out to someone. My information's here. Reach out. Let the body of Christ be what it was intended to be. Father, I don't know who needs to hear what today. I don't know your intent for this particular emphasis from Proverbs 14, 13, but Lord, I just pray that you would not allow us to leave here the same. May we be committed to serving one another, and may we be willing to trust enough to say, I need help. I'm struggling. Lord, whatever you want to do, I pray that you have done it and will continue to do it in each one of us for the glory of Christ, for the sake of his family. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.